house of God, isn't it? Hey, man, we need this. You know, it's always been needed all the way back from the beginning of time that some reason this old flesh got to constantly be reminded, amen, of who we are and what Christ has done. Let's all pray and ask God to be with us this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord. We pray, God, that you would move in a mighty way here today. God, we pray that you would bless each one here. Open up their hearts, Lord, that they might receive, Lord, what's given here today. Bless the music. Bless the singing. Bless everything that we do in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Thank you.
that's good and perfect comes from Him. What a song for my lesson today. But we're going to get on into the lesson because it's probably one of those lessons that's impossible to teach in 30 minutes. But I've got to try it. But God is good and God will make the way. Amen.
Yes. Amen.
Turn to Hebrews. Begin with 9. Hebrews 9 begins verse 22 through 28. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission. It was therefore necessary for the patterns of things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself now to appear in the presence of God for us. Verse 25. Nor yet that he should offer himself often as the high priest enters into the holy place every year with blood of others. For then must be offered, often have suffered since the foundation of the world, but now once in the end of this world has he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Verse 27, and as it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this the judgment. Verse 28, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that looked for him shall he appear the second time without sin. Chapter 10, we'll go over to verse 11 through 14. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifice which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. Verse 13, from henceforth expecting till his enemies will be made his footstool. And for by one offering he has perfected forever them that are sanctified. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord. We pray, God, that you would bless this message today. Bless the words, Lord. Let me stay in the word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. You may be seated. You know, when I'm sure you can relate to this. When I was first come to God, only thing I knew was Jesus Christ. You know, that's all I needed, because he was a perfect sacrifice, and to get saved and to come to God, that's all I needed. But you know, the Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God, and through studying and looking into the word of God, my faith just grew and grew. Once you look into this word, you see how it just dovetails perfectly together. I remember the first time that I got into the Old Testament, I found Jesus Christ in it. That just, my faith just went right through the ceiling. You know why? Because faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. When you hear, you see these things, your faith is built. That's the reason the Bible says, leaving the foundation of repentance and going on into the perfection. It don't end when we come to God, but a lot would like to just, you know, hang on to that. And they don't want anything else but that. Sometimes you're just trying to soothe your conscience a little bit. But when you come to God and when the Spirit of God comes within you, then there's just a burning desire. Now let me ask you this. How many of you ever get away from your flesh? We have two natures. There's always be in your mind Jesus Christ and the things of God in your mind. Because they both dwell together. When before I came to God, it seemed like I always thought in my mind to just sin, and get ahead, and all of these other things. But when Christ came in, he filled a void. And we have to have that, and that's Christ dwelling within us. If Christ is not on your mind 24 hours a day like your flesh is, then you need to pray. Amen. But our focus verse for our lesson today was Hebrews 9 and 28. So Christ was fulfilled, or Christ was once offered. Once. Everybody say once. He was offered once. They used to do that all the time. Amen. When you sin, you'd have to have a little offering to bring up. Well, we bring that to Jesus Christ. When you sin, you have an advocate with the Father. And we bring that to Jesus Christ because this flesh is always crying out to have its way. Bible says overcome evil with good. And it's going to be, evil is always, you'll sometimes you find that so hard to explain. How do you explain that evil is present when I do good, try to do good? When I try to do good, evil is present. Just think about it. That's all you got to do. Think about yourself. You ever pray sometime and an evil thought enter into your mind? Evil is present. See, we are looking at things in the Old Testament. They're figures of things to come. Figures of things to come. And if you look back in the Old Testament, and if it don't lead you to Christ, then it don't figure up. It don't figure up. Now, people try to, the scribes and the Pharisees, they tried to get to heaven. They said they could get to heaven on their goodness. That's the reason that Jesus was so much against the scribes, because they had another gospel. And there was no other gospel. Sometimes, just because you try to do good works, they'll call you a scribe or a Pharisee, you know. So you guys are scribes and Pharisee hypocrites, and you are if you say you're perfect. Because we're not. Believe me, I don't know. You know you, but I know me. So I know that this man is not perfect. But when you see the figures of things to come the way they was laying it down in Hebrews, amen, and you see that in the Old Testament come perfectly in line with the New Testament, you tell me that don't do something to your faith? Amen, it does. That's the reason that we grow in faith, grow in faith and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because it's for our faith. When I first come to God, it was, I mean, I'd never served God before. I was 27 years old. I'd already been into so many things and so ashamed of myself. See, I knew good and evil. I knew it. And I knew it was wrong. And I knew that I needed a Savior. Amen, because I couldn't save myself. And these things were put in the Bible for our benefit. And for our understanding, as the Bible says. But Jesus didn't come to destroy that law. When you look in there, you find out he came to fulfill that law. Matthew 5 and 17 says, "Do not think that I come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill." He fulfilled it. What did he say when he died, right before he died? He said, "It is finished. It's done. My work is done." But you tell me that we are not figures of things yet to come. We are. We are in Christ Jesus. And one day, all of that is going to come to fruit. And we are figures of them, and the apostles put it down. And we are that to the world. That's all they see. That's all I seen before I came to God was people that lived for God. But you couldn't fool me. I knew the real from the ones that wasn't real. I wasn't putting those people as perfect, but I was judging them according to their works, their light that they shone. That's what I judge them by. The Bible says, "Let your light so shine before men that they will see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." So I saw that in man. That's what helped me come. But Hebrews 9 and 24 says, "For Christ has not entered into the holy place made with hands, which are the figures of the true." See, when you look at Christ and you look in the Old Testament, it figures up. You might see a couple old farmers sitting there making deals, and they might say, "What, you bring your figures?" And he'll say, "Yep, I brought my figures." And when they begin to talk about it, if one's figures don't line up with the other one, one of them might say, "Hey, this is not figuring up." Amen. Finishing up Hebrews 9 and 24. "But unto heaven itself, how to appear in the presence of God for us." See, Jesus didn't need it. He didn't need it. He was a perfect sacrifice. He had no sin. He had no sin nature. How could he sin? Amen. You don't You might see you might get a dog to bite you or something, but he's not sinning. He's just protecting his territory. That's what his nature is. Amen. We have a sin nature. Amen. That the only one that's going to take care of this is Jesus Christ. From Abraham to Moses, and right on down through all of the prophets, they had let their light shine. They cast such a light that we're still seeing it today. And we have to let our light so shine also. You know, we're getting where now the churches, they'll go out into the world and say, what do we have to do to get you to come to church? We used to tell them what they had to do when they got to church. But then you see where it's led to church to, in a lukewarm condition. But we know in Matthew 5 and 16, he said, let your light so shine. We have the light of Christ within us, and we let it shine to the world. But see, the thing that the world don't understand, if they don't see perfection in you, they judge the whole thing. And you can't help but a little bit of the show. They need to understand too, hey, it's not by your perfection that you're saved, but it's by Jesus. By his perfection are you saved. And you know what? I still lean on that perfection. I'm still lost. I need it as much today as I did then. Because Christ, he came having no sin. He didn't do what he did or didn't do. That ain't nothing. He was perfect. He said, I can do nothing except the Father show me. He said he couldn't do anything. But the light of the Old Testament reveals Christ. And the light of the apostles reveals Christ in us. Amen. Christ came he was a reflection of the law. And he came and he fulfilled that law. And Jesus, what did he say? He didn't say he fulfilled the law to himself. He said he fulfilled the law in us. The law he didn't need to be fulfilled in him. Amen. He was a perfect sacrifice. Amen. You know, people seem to get, we're just prone to worship. We're prone to be an idolater. You take this basketball player that died. Why? It just keeps going on and on. He's just another man. But we idolize. See, that's reading the children of Israel, and all through the Old Testament they had trouble with idolatry. Because it's in us. We're prone to worship. But we have to be worship in spirit and in truth. Amen. If you lack knowledge, you lack understanding. Amen. But when someone that you idolize, it ain't going to take you any further than right here. Amen. Not any further. It won't take you any further than that. Proverbs 19 and 21. Many are the plans in the mind of man, but it is the purpose of the Lord that will stand. What if it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his soul? It profiteth you nothing. You take Satan, when he took Jesus up to tempt him, what did he offer him? He didn't offer him life. He offered him everything in this life. That was man's wisdom. And man's wisdom will forever fail. You know, we talk about reasoning. You have reasoning, you have faith. Faith has no reasoning. It's just faith. It is what it says it is. And you have to go according to that. If we begin to look at things in our own wisdom and we begin to call it good when it's evil, it's the wisdom of man. You can't call anything good, evil good. It cannot be that. It has to be called evil. Or guess what? You've got nothing to repent of. You have to know it's evil. You have to call it evil. The wisdom of man is a device of Satan. I can prove that. He brought wisdom into this world. Genesis 3 and 6. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eye, all the lust of the flesh, and a tree to be desired to make one wise. What does Satan present? His wisdom. His wisdom, the wisdom of man. That's what he presented to Jesus Christ. His wisdom. But his wisdom didn't work with him. He wasn't deceived. Amen. But wisdom versus faith. You know, man through his wisdom and through his things that he has, he can persuade a lot of people. He can get a lot of people through his wisdom to follow him. But he may be right in this world. It might get you ahead. But it don't get you eternal life. Amen. But God's likeness began to be revealed in the ceremonial laws of the tabernacle. But what was it put there for? To keep man conscious of his sins. They were forever conscious of it. Every day they were sacrificing this or sacrificing that. It was ever in their mind, ever in their conscience, how lost they was. Hebrews 9 and 22. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without the shedding of blood is no remission. That was a figure of things to come. Verse 23, and was therefore necessary that the patterns or figures of things in the heavens should be purified with these. But the heavenly things themselves were better sacrifices than these. See, we had a pattern of things in the ceremonial laws. Amen, but it couldn't forgive you your sins. Amen, but it was always there. Amen. But we find that keeping with these figures, looking at these figures, and we see, we begin to add things up in the Old Testament. You begin to add them up, and they come out. They figure up. And that's what we have, and that should encourage your faith. Amen. Let's go on, or I'm not going to finish this. But you know, my wife, she has a lot of patterns. But if she don't take those patterns and make something out of it, it ain't worth nothing. And that's the things that we got to be with Christ Jesus. And, you know, how are you going to do that? Man is proud by nature. Humility. There's a lot of things we do for humility's sake. Maybe this is a goofy example, but I used to come up here and sit until he didn't. Well, I humbled myself, and I said, well, maybe he don't want to run it that way. So I sat out there, and I wait, and I come up just like he did it. See, the proud man, I'm going to do it my way, brother. You do it yours. See? But humility will cause you to do some things that maybe you don't even have to. I'm not going to go to hell if I don't do that. But humility will cause you to live for God. And without it, you won't live for him. Very simple math. It figures up. Amen. 1 Corinthians 1 and 18. For the preaching of the cross to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. It is the completion of God's plan in us. Some of these things just don't add up to people. You've got to leave the foundation of repentance and go on to perfection, going into the works of God, going into the service of God. When he says, offer up your bodies a living sacrifice, which is your reasonable service. It's not that that's going to cause me to be saved. Brother, you got to put the first things first. Jesus already saved me. The humility that brought me down to an altar of repentance is the same of humility that's going to cause me to live for him. But God left a pattern for Jesus to come out of. when you put all the stitches in, doing all the sewing and everything, you come out with Jesus Christ. And when we go into Jesus Christ, when we repent of our sins and turn ourselves over to Him, and we begin to follow Him, this end, you know what this end is going to be? This end is going to be eternal life. The Bible says, how shall you escape if you neglect so great a salvation? How are you going to escape? There's only one escape. It's where our salvation comes from. Amen. You know, man, they study life. They know all the parts of my body, and they know all the parts of yours. They know what can help you to see, help you. And then they go in, they're going to try to figure out how life came all about. So they've got us crawling up out of the sea and then getting up on four legs and getting up on two and that kind of stuff. Well, we need to study the things of God the same way. Find out how we come off our knees and get up on our feet. Find us how we can stop walking and begin to trot. And find out how we can trot and begin to run. See? There's a biblical science, too. And there are my biblical science, it gives me eternal life. This worldly science, it just tries to tell me who I am. They still don't understand who we are. Nobody can figure out the eye. Science can't figure out that eye. They try. They don't quit. Then shouldn't we give God the same respect? Don't quit. If a little humility won't hurt you. Matter of fact, it's what makes you grow in God. Without it, you're stagnant. You know why? Because you're humbling this whole lost flesh. We still carry this thing around with us. Matthew 5:20. For I say unto you, except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. You know what I was talking about? They weren't humble. They were wise in their own conceit. They depended on themselves. They said, we can make... See, they ain't heard from anything from God for 400 years. So they began to make up their own plan. We can't make up our own plan. God has put down the plan that we should go by. But that's Satan's wisdom. See, he used it in the garden. He used it with Jesus Christ. He still uses it today. You don't have to go to church. Of course you don't. You can be proud and conceit in your conceit if you want to be. Or you can humble yourself and serve God. Now, if you want to get to heaven yourself on your own works, Jesus put down a scenario on the mount. 5:27, you have heard that it was said to them of old time, you shall not commit adultery. That's what they said in the old time. That's something you might be able to do. But here's something else. But then he said, but I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her has committed adultery already with her in his heart. He's like saying to the scribes and Pharisees, now step up. You save yourself, step up. That's what this head that's going to. Jesus put down an impossible scenario that neither you or I can meet. And the first time you read that, you tell me it didn't make you feel lost. You know why? Because it should have. That's what it was for. I'll give you another scenario. Matthew 5:29. He said, if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee, for it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish and not the whole body should be cast into hell. Now I know all you people are righteous because every one of you got both your eyes. And you got your hand because I shake it every day I come in, your right hand. I said, brother, you're sinning. You still got that right hand. You should cut it off and cast it away from you. What is Jesus saying here? Remember he told us how hard he came out against the scribes and the Pharisees because they said they could save themselves? Jesus just laid out a little bit of perfection for them. But when I read those things, it didn't add up. I said, how could I be saved in Jesus Christ? And now I go back to this. It didn't add up. No, Jesus was a scenario of the impossible things that is for man. For many things are impossible with man, but nothing is impossible with God. It was revealing your hopelessness. It was revealing how much hope you can put in your own self. He said, if you're perfect, then if your eye offends you, how many here has your eyes ever offended you? Your right hand? How about your whole body? The Bible said, even if you offer up your body to be burned and have not charity, you have nothing. See, it's impossible for you to save yourself, either before or after. Amen. We that are in Christ Jesus, amen, we'll begin to get into the Word of God. We'll begin to study, and our faith will begin to build and build and build. And if you're not reading the Word of God, then you should be. Romans 7:24, Paul said, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? Well, what do you mean, Paul? You got the Holy Ghost. Start casting out some of them eyes and cutting off some of them hands. But he was saying that sin nature is present. We all know that. I shouldn't have to even, you say, well, explain that to me. You explain it to me. If it can only mean that this sin nature is still here. Amen. You know what? We're in captivity to it. We can't get away from it. But we are figures of things to come, because one day we're going to split from this body and we're going to go up into glory, amen, and to live with Him. See, this old body don't have no more power over me. I want to go to Romans 10:1-2. And this might be something that might have caused some people to wonder, but verse 1. Oh, wretched man, let's go to Romans 10, verse 1. Did I put that down? Brethren, my heart's desire, Hebrews 10:1. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come and not the very image of the things, can never with these sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. Read on to the next one. For then would they not have ceased to be offered. If it could have happened, they would have stopped. When Jesus was done, he did it once and it stopped. Because that the worshipers once purged should have had no more conscience of sin. You know, when I read that, I said, how can you not have conscience of sin? I said, I'm conscious of it every day. Because I know that this sin nature is still alive. I have conscience of it. Then what did it mean? Did you ever really have something on your heart, burning on your heart, that you need to make right? And it was just so on your conscience. It was just tearing you apart. But once you went and made that right, your conscience was clear. See, it's still there. It didn't change anything except that your conscience was clear. Maybe they didn't even receive you. But your conscience is clear. When you come to Jesus Christ, you have no more conscience of sin. You have made that thing right. And that's it. That's it in a nutshell. I feel like I've been up here 5 minutes, already time to get down. Romans 8:4, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. There's a different thing in that than what people think too. That righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who trust not after the flesh but after the Spirit. He was telling them, scribes and Pharisees, you can't trust in yourself. You have to come to Jesus Christ. They had another gospel. And Jesus Christ, we come to Jesus Christ, and you know what? We begin to learn of Him. And it happened to me. Now listen, if you come to Jesus Christ ignorant, God accepts you. But when you begin to learn of Him, then you walk in His ways. You trust in His ways and not the wisdom of man. When I've seen Jesus' baptism and the apostolic man brought to my attention, I saw that. Now, what do I do with it? Now, where does God start? Does it start when He begins to deal with you? He says, how can you come lest the Spirit draw you? Maybe at first He's just dealing with you, trying to bring you into the truth that's in God's Word. How do I believe you got to do it? I believe you got to repent, be baptized in Jesus' name, and filled with the Holy Ghost. I don't knock out either one of them. I don't make light of them either. When God begins to deal with you, well, you begin to move. Maybe you don't move right. I believe there's a knowledge to salvation. And when I saw that, and the only the excuses I could find, well, it doesn't matter. It matters. It matters, or it wouldn't have been put in there. It always mattered. Back in the Old Testament, the figures of things had to be perfect. Who was given the keys to the kingdom of heaven? It was Peter. Who said, repent ye and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for your remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. What? He opened that door. He opened that door. The Bible says, not everyone says, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. I prayed a long time. I prayed lots of times before I got saved, especially when I was over in Vietnam. I promised God all kinds of stuff. Just don't let these bad things happen to me, you know. Well, when I got back to the States, I wasn't saved. Right back out and did just what I always did. Romans 7 and 21. I got two scriptures here to read, and I'm going to quit because it's time. Romans 7 and 21. I find in the law, when I would do good, evil is present with me. Don't try to reason with it. It's just like it says. You still got this sin nature. Overcome evil with good. If you want to talk about how to live for Christ, well, then you go on into perfection. You take someone on a diet. A lot of people are on a diet today. You give up sugar. I tell you what, it didn't do nothing with the craving, though, did it? That's the same with that flesh. It's still there. You still crave. You still crave sugar. I'm talking from experience because I'm doing it right now. And I, you know what? I find sugar still present. In verse 23, Romans 7 and 21, in closing what I do here. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Folks, we've got to deal with the flesh. And I believe the way that you deal with the flesh is get your start the way God says get it. Now, I know there's a big temptation to maybe even go against God's Word, just in maybe order to make things a little easier or something like that. Stay with God's Word. Go into it. If you can find that in there, go ahead. More power to you. But you won't find it. All you'll find in there is humility. For us. You won't find no proud, arrogant, conceited people. You find humility. I mean, when I was in another church they really taught it really, really hard. I went ahead and did that, not because I thought I had to do all those things, but because of humility. Amen. Where's our humility? Is it hid behind pride and conceit? Humility will make you look foolish sometimes. The Bible says it will. But proud and a haughty spirit Amen. The spirit of the world, wise in your own conceit. That will get you the world. That'll get you the things of the world too. Because Satan's wisdom is being carried out. Amen. I hope I helped you just a little bit today. Paul said these things about himself, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of sin? And he talked about all of this sin nature he had. He never talked about Christ having one. He never said one thing about Christ having a sin nature, because he didn't. Amen. I think at this time that we pray and go get water, drink water, bathroom, all those other things that you need to do, and we'll start back up here at 11. I went 5 minutes over, so sorry about that. Amen. You're dismissed to do this other thing that you're doing, so the main service comes about.